Yo, what's up, guys? Welcome in to Stacking Dubs. I'm coming to you moments after Steph Curry and the Warriors beat the Orlando Magic, coming down from, I believe, a 17-point deficit, where the Magic were just on fire, would not miss in that first quarter and a half. But then Steph happened, and he showed you what it's like to really get hot. Steph drops 56 in this one. I mean, not many more times you're going to get to see 50-point burgers from Steph Curry. Hopefully this isn't the last one. Hopefully he still has a little bit more magic. But, man, you think this guy, maybe he's declining. Maybe he's getting old. You don't know how many more of these magical nights you're going to get to witness. And in a regular season February game that starts at 4 o'clock against the second-best defense in the NBA, Steph happens. You just never know when he's going to get it. Came off not the best game last game. Seemed like he tweaked his thumb last game. I was wondering how he'd feel, and I was like, oh man, hopefully this doesn't send him spiraling into a little shooting slump. It did not. Man, what a game. I mean, lots of things to point to in this, but first off, just got to give 30 his flowers. It's magic. There's just no better show in sports. You have all of Orlando just chanting MVP for Steph. It's the moments like this where you realize you just can't miss a Warriors game. It's why the NBA televises as many Warriors games as they can, because you just never know when Steph is going to get hot, get wet, and sink 12 threes or more sometimes. So, oh man, just the, again, other than maybe Klay Thompson in that 14-3-point game and the 37-point quarter, no one's capable of getting any hotter than Steph. And man, I would be shocked if anybody ever touches his 8.8 three-pointers made in a game, 9 threes in a game, 10 threes in a game, 11 threes in a game. It is just legendary, and it's crazy, and we're all witnesses. And I'm just, for one, happy to have Steph Curry as a Warrior. All right, moving on from Steph, because there's a lot of different ways the Warriors have won games this year, and there's a lot of, with their depth, with their different players, different personnel, a lot of different ways to win. Obviously, none better than just Steph carrying us in a game. But I'm going to give my player of the game to not Steph Curry. I'm going to give it to Quinton Post, just because, right? And with that, credit to Steve Kerr for starting the second half with Post at the five. And the Warriors essentially go on, I think they were down 14 at the half, go up seven in a matter of 7 minutes. So basically a plus 21 point swing there. Very, very evident that as soon as Post went in the game, whole geometry of the floor changes, opens up space. Obviously, Post hit a few shots, ended up with 16 points in that second half. Just a completely different look that the Warriors, ever since we lost to the Anthony Davis Lakers team in the playoffs, where they just realized they didn't have a changeup, they didn't really have a big who could stretch the floor, pull a guy like Anthony Davis away from the hoop. That's what they were missing. And lo and behold, they turned to the 52nd pick in the NBA draft and seem to have found their 7-footer, 7-foot-1. We won't shortchange Post here. 7-foot-1 sniper who is very consistent. We shot over 40% this entire season, but he's starting to show even more. He's starting to show, well, we already knew he's a good passer. He sees the floor well, makes the right reads, but he's not shooting it immediately. The ball doesn't stick with him. He seems to know where to go with the ball. Doesn't turn the ball over, doesn't need to put the ball on the floor. He knows his role. He knows when he catches the ball what he wants to do. He has a plan. He executes it. Now you're seeing him start to seal down low, get a few buckets at the hoop, a couple follows, had that nice follow for a dunk on that Draymond where he got hacked. Missed a layup towards the end of the game. But I want to talk about his defense, that Post defense, where we'll still see how he holds up against the faster guards and your Damian Lillard's, Kyrie Irving's, John Morant's. When they're on the floor, I don't know if Post can be on the floor because they're going to attack right at him. But Post held his own against Paolo Banchero a couple times. He held his own against Cole Anthony a couple times. He moved his feet. He played good help defense. He had at least a block or two. Altered another couple shots at the rim. And basically, he slid his feet. Picked up a couple fouls, although one was pretty ticky-tack towards the end. And you just see it with the That's what young players do, right? You're just slightly out of position. You're just slightly not straight up. That's how Kevin Knox, who got actually significant or key minutes in this in the second quarter, he picked up kind of a couple of cheapies. You know, Post will pick up some cheapies. Kuminga's always picking up cheapies, but he's getting better at that. Little things to improve for Post, but man, for what he did and basically flipped this game around without obviously Steph Curry, but without Quentin Post, Warriors do not win this game. And it is nice to see the different ways that they can win. It was not a Jimmy Butler game. It was, you know, all the, you know, it was, even offensively, gosh, I mean, who really even had it going? Like Moody didn't shoot well. Draymond was okay. Pajemski didn't have it going. So, you know, Steph, Post, and then you kind of just piece it together from there. And that's why this team has a chance to be a tough out because of the different ways they can win, because they play defense, because they move the ball. And that's the thing, and that's the difference. I mean, we're going to keep talking about it between Jimmy Butler and Andrew Wiggins. Even when Butler's having a bad game, he still affects the game as a playmaker. I think he had six, seven assists. I don't have the stats in front of me, but he needs to look to score first and foremost. You know, he gets in the middle of the key. That needs to be going up from 5 feet. Just kind of find a way to score. Isn't finishing well. Just wasn't aggressive at all, but found ways to get to the spots, find shooters, kick it back out, kept the ball moving. And, you know, he didn't have it. He didn't force it. And it was enough to win. In the stretch, as the Magic are kind of closing the gap, I need to see Butler a little more aggressive, work to get to the line. You just got to shoot the ball more. I mean, just trust your shot. This shot's a little broke right now, but there's no way you're going to get out of it until you start shooting the ball a little bit more, particularly within 10 feet. I mean, you can rise up within 10 feet. I mean, I want you shooting that all day long. Kind of like, you know, like Chris Paul, you know, similar, except Butler's got more height, but Paul just kind of gets to his spots, gets to that mid-range, and that's a high percentage shot. Despite Chris Paul shooting it terribly when he was with the Warriors, and so far Butler doing the same. But I believe Jimmy Butler, there's a reason why he's been a mid-20s scorer for his career, and I hope to see a little bit more of that. And you know, I gotta also just give Steve Kerr his flowers. You know, starting Post midway through, he's always shortened his rotations. What you can see, especially in the first quarter, what the objective is so that, you know, the starting five with Moody, Pajemski in there. But Kerr knows from earlier in this year that your next pairing, Buddy Hield, Gary Payton the second, and Steph Curry, that three works really well together, right? They won a couple games just by playing that lineup a bit. And for all the things that Buddy Hield lacks on the defensive end, because he can space the floor, you'll live with a hole on the defensive side, assuming he brings it on offense and gives Steph a little bit of space with that second unit, which needs as much spacing as possible, especially once Jonathan Kuminga returns. That lineup is, you know, those three, and then it's been Gui Santos and Looney. And so you really just, you're at a lack of spacing. So that's why you have Buddy and Steph in there, and you're asking Steph at that point to be your engine and get all the offense going. And that's fine. Once Kuminga starts getting those Gui Santos roles, that Gui Santos role might not have as much spacing as Gui, but honestly, Kuminga shoots it as well. Maybe honestly, maybe a little bit better than Gui, but it just gives you that second offensive threat. And then Gary Payton with that combination, obviously he lacks on offense, but he is great as a roller with Steph. We've talked about it before. Gary Payton, not a scorer, but he plays well with Steph on the offensive side of the ball. They have a lot of action together where he's the roller, can make the right pass, can get to the hoop and dunk it. I'm not going to say finish because he's not a great finisher when he's having to lay it up, but good enough finisher at that height, especially when he's dunking. Starting to make a few more shots, although not tonight. But my point is that, you know, Peyton knows Curry. He knows how to look for Curry. Other than Draymond Green, Peyton just seems to have the best chemistry as a passer when Steph's off ball. And so that kind of opens things up a little bit, just enough to keep him on the floor because we already know what he brings on the defensive side of the ball. Big block at the end of this one. So that's kind of been the rotation. It seems to be working for the Warriors. How we fit Kuminga in, I would assume Kuminga's coming off the bench and taking that Gui Santos role. And then as the second quarter turns, now you're going to see Kuminga, Butler, kind of spearheading that second unit. Let's see. I mean, other than that, the only other just kind of telling thing, and I mean, is it a Jimmy Butler thing? Is it just kind of a, I don't know what the difference is, has been, but the Warriors free throws. Not only are they just getting to the line a ton more, and Kalena was saying the Magic are they lead the NBA in free throw differential. Either they get to the line and make the most threes, or it's their net free throws. But Warriors, I don't have the stats in front of me, but they must have made at least 20 more free throws than the Magic. Shot, I think, over 90%. And yeah, I mean, the Warriors are leading the NBA in free throw percentage over the last 8 games. I don't know what's going on. Maybe they just committed to practicing their free throws. Maybe Jimmy Butler just has a more focus. For whatever the reason, I'm gonna expect that to kind of regress back to the mean and hope that this team is at least an average to slightly above average team that can get to the line and make the free throws. We'll see, but I mean, it's 8 games is a smaller sample size than the previous however many, where we were just one of the worst free throw teams getting and shooting. But in addition to the free throws, they're winning the turnover battles, points off turnovers. I think it was that we're leading the league again in turnover differential and points off turnover differential. Just a completely different identity. And then again, that kind of goes full circle back to my original point, is that the Warriors are just finding different ways to win. And you can see that, hey, when they clean up things in the margins, when they're playing, good connected defense, and the Magic just aren't draining every single shot they're taking. The defense wasn't awful. It wasn't great in the first half or so, but play that good defense, take care of the ball, get to the line, and then let 30 take you over the top. That's how this team's going to get far. And then you're going to get other contributions in big games from basically your top eight, even top nine guys who we've seen all year long. Any one of them could basically be your number two, your number three most valuable player in a game. Tonight, that was Quinton Post. And I'm excited to see how many more games like this that stretch center spot really does make the difference in the game. Last shout out, Draymond Green, you're an animal. You better be first team all defense with Wemby out, obviously with that shoulder. I mean, I think the first team or the defensive player of the year battle is, I'm drawing blanks here. Jaren Jackson Jr., Dyson Daniels is up there, but there's one more guy. I'm drawing a blank. Anyways, you can yell it at the screen, but God, I swear, it should be Draymond Green. He's a top five defensive player in the league at the least. I always think he's the most important and best defender just because of all he brings. IQ, off ball, on ball, versatility. I was thinking about this today. The Warriors in their dynasty maybe had the best defensive player of the generation, best offensive player of the generation, and the best 3-and-D player in Klay Thompson of the generation. You mix those three things together, and then you throw in a little Kevin Durant for a couple of years, you can see why the Warriors won four championships on their way to a fifth this year. All right, guys. Have a good one. Good win for the Warriors, and we will talk after next one. I'm Chris. Hit like, hit subscribe. Thanks for tuning in. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.